Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying seven churches of Revelation, Revelation chapters 2 and 3. In this session, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, Philadelphia. Let's look at that first verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. Jesus Christ is the one true God who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open." It's the power of the office of priest Eliakim. He was the key holder in King David's palace. He had full authority to act as keeper. If he locked a palace door, it remained locked. If he unlocked a palace door, it remained unlocked. Isaiah chapter 22, verses 20 to 25. "Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house. They will hang on him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the posterity, all vessels of small quantity, from the cups to all the pitchers. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, the peg that is fastened in the secure place will be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was on it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken." In this letter to the church at Philadelphia, the Lord gave three promises for his faithful, the overcomers. First, Jesus Christ promises an open door. Verse 8, "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my words, and have not denied my name." The church of Philadelphia was more like what the church should be, a working, evangelistic, Bible-believing one. Jesus Christ is the ultimate key holder. He controls all doors. We depend on him. We can't have revival unless he allows it. And Satan can't stop revival unless Jesus does it. "For you have a little strength, and yet all that is needed for a majority is God plus one faithful believer." The Lord opened the door. The believers depended on grace. The word of God was kept, and the church at Philadelphia remained faithful. When a door of opportunity is open to reach out to the lost, the Holy Spirit also prepares hearts to receive the gospel message. Are we taking advantage of the doors opened to us? Second, Jesus Christ promises deliverance from wrath. Verses 9 and 10. "Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." There were some who wanted the church to deny Jesus. They claimed to be Jews, but were really imposters, and one day they would be forced to bow down and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. People today believe that It's possible to be a good Christian even without attending a church. The people are not, and people are not always what they claim to be. Members of a congregation may not even be saved. They don't serve the Lord, and they have become the enemy's tool to attack the faithful. Or they are Christians who refuse to commit to serve, but are willing to stir up trouble for those who are trying to serve. They will be humbled one day. Jesus told a group of Jews that they were of the devil. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Paul said, not all who have descended from Israel are actually of Israel. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. Many people fail to live up to spiritual claims, and not everyone who claims Christ is his. Jesus acknowledged in verse 10 that the church at Philadelphia was working in his name and was patiently awaiting his eventual return. Because of this, Jesus promised them something. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Because of this, Jesus promised, because they were waiting on him. This is not a normal trial of believers. It's not isolated persecutions of the church. The seven-year period known as the tribulation will be hell on earth. Famine, natural disasters, sickness, war, murder. But Christians don't have to endure it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Christians will be kept from the coming trial by being transferred from heaven, from earth to heaven, via what we call the rapture. The church could be protected while on earth in tribulation. It could. But we know that believers will be killed during that time. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 down to verse 14. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white, and where did they come from? And he said to them, and I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These martyrs become believers in the seven-year time of tribulation. Therefore, people will be saved during that time. But the church must be gone to be kept from it, for Jesus' promise to be fulfilled. The faithful will escape God's wrath, but the unfaithful will have to suffer it unless they are born again. And third, Jesus Christ promises to return soon. Verses 11 to 13. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven, from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, how wonderful that will be. Believers will be permanently installed in heaven like strong and stable pillars. Believers will be secure in Christ for all of eternity. He shall go out no more. Believers will receive God's name, which pictures ownership. His city's name refers to heaven. His new name speaks of a relationship. Don't let someone else end up with your reward, because God will accomplish his plan. Guard your doctrines. Continue the deeds. Believe the Bible. Keep evangelizing and share the gospel. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. What is that? Jesus is referring to the crowns you have earned, and there are five possible crowns. The imperishable crown for overcoming the flesh, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. The crown of rejoicing for evangelizing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Crown of righteousness for awaiting his return, 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The crown of life for overcoming trials, James chapter 1, verse 2. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And the crown of glory for faithful shepherds. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You have a great day.